can save the day.
Welcome to Mighty House. This is a radio show for people with problems. Home improvement problems, that is. Send an email now to robbie@mightyhouse.net or call into the show at 877-711-5611. From foundation leaks to roof repairs, the Mighty House team is on the job. You're listening to Mighty House.
I'm Ron Cowgill. The Mighty House team is back. Join us on Facebook Live right now, brought to you in part by First Northern Credit Union. First Northern Credit Union is the only community credit union in Evanston. Visit them at fncu.org to learn more about the benefits of a credit union membership in your community. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at mightyhouse.net, tunein.com. We're also on the Gab Radio Network. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Podcasts of previous shows available at mightyhouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on homeimprovementusa.com. Find links to all of them at mightyhouse.net. Video clips of the show are available at mightyhouse.net and on our Mighty House YouTube channel. And you can follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. And our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And you can give us a call on the Your Name Here helpline, 877-711-5611. Are you looking for a luxury kitchen at an affordable price? Don't go any further than alinecabinets.com. That's A-L-I-N-E cabinets.com. All right, so we're back. Uh-oh. They stuck Brandon in the seat. Are you piloting the ship now, sir?
Yeah, I guess so.
All right, here we go. Hang on, people. We got a green pilot going. So, are you a professional? Are you green? Are you green? Or are you
I would say green.
You're green. All right, excellent. So this is going to be fun. A bumpy ride. Everybody, put your seatbelts on. Tray tables up, in upright position. All right, here we go. Next up. Can we, let's see,
go to the phones here.
Yikes. Oh, what is, oh, that's Rich. Okay. Steve, are you there?
Hey, Ron, how's it going?
Steve. All right. Steve, you were on with us like a year or two ago, too, weren't you?
Yeah, last year we talked about T-Rex tape and all the good things happening with this.
Yeah. So, okay. I thought it was the same, Steve, and I wasn't sure. We've got T-Rex tape, and Steve is the product manager. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm the product and brand manager for T-Rex tape over at SureTech Brand.
Excellent. All right, so this is not your average run-of-the-mill tape that you're going to use. This stuff, like, actually works. And since you were on last time, I've always got a couple of rolls in the truck now. I like the durability of this stuff. It's thicker. It's heavier. It seems to stick better. What have you guys done? It's not the standard, quote, duct tape that people pick up at the store.
Yeah, I think what we've really done is listen to what people are asking for. And we took some leanings from what is being done still in the industrial side, where you need a product that's not going to fail you and you're willing to spend the money for it. And we kind of met in the middle, where we've really outlined the heavier duty duct tape that meets all the needs right away. One roll, you don't have to buy 10 rolls to get any project done. And you hit the nail on the head, where we've added double the adhesive. We've made that adhesive super premium with antioxidants to keep UV light from breaking that adhesive down. We put a high tensile scrim in the middle. It's still terrible by hand, but it's also very strong. And then you have that waterproof backing, which, again, adds to the durability and makes it an all-weather tape that holds longer and works longer than any other duct tape.
Yeah, it's a when you start to peel it off, you go, oh, this is going to be too thick. It's not going to bend around stuff. But it still does. It wraps around, you know, pipes or whatever you're trying to tape up. It still does a really good job of grabbing onto things. The only stuff is usually once you put it on plastic, because sometimes we'll hang plastic on a job site, and if you put it over two pieces of, you know, a seam in the plastic, the problem is once it's been on there and you step on it or you rub it, you rip the plastic trying to take it back off if you screwed up. So
I've seen that a while. Yeah, I found that using a heavier duty plastic is necessary when using this tape. But sometimes it's a good problem to have. It means that plastic's not going to go anywhere when you hang it up and need it to protect surfaces.
Right. Yeah. So what we do is cut the plastic and reposition it and put another piece of tape on it. How long has this T-Rex tape been around?
So this product has been in existence for 10 years. As I mentioned, it really came from the industrial side. And in the last 4 years, we've really reorganized the branding and the messaging and the pricing to make it a better retail product. So you can find it at retailers across the nation, all North America, really. And it's really doing very well because people expect a better product, as you said earlier.
Right, right. So have you tried this stuff down in Florida yet, Rich?
No.
I'm just curious.
I probably would, but in my office, I don't have a lot of use for tape.
Yeah. I was just curious how this is going to work in the humidity versus, you know, up here.
Well, it seems not so much okay. Humidity, heat, because right. Like regular duct tape, it seems to me that heat melts the adhesive.
Right.
And then that's where your tape failure comes from.
Right. So that's why I was curious if you'd tried this down there versus some other tapes and whether or not it was working in the humidity and the heat that you guys have in Southern Florida. So, hey, Steve, is there a product temperature range that this is going to work best in, or is it okay to be using it really cold, like in Minnesota, or in Florida or Texas?
Well, that's a great question. The application temperature range is really anything where you're going to be working in a real temperature environment, all the way up to 200 degrees, which I hope you're not working at 200 degrees. I think you'd be on, like, Mars or something like that. But and also down to 30 degrees. But one of the great things about T-Rex tape is, regardless of that temperature range, we've used the highest performance, highest premium quality materials, such as natural premium-grade rubber. A great example of how awesome this tape is one of the ways we test it is we freeze the tape in blocks of ice down to negative 7 degrees Fahrenheit. We break it out of that block of ice and use it immediately. We can't, with some of our competitive products, actually will break apart. They won't unwind. The adhesive will actually break apart when you unwind a tape at those temperatures. So that's a pretty good demonstration, which you can see at trextape.com, of how quality this product is at a wide range of temperature.
Right. Yeah, no, it's amazing how well it works. I just leave it in the truck year round, and it you pull it out, and it takes care of it. So it does what you intend it to do, which a lot of other types of duct tape that you pull out of the truck and it's 30 degrees out, it just doesn't work. You can't peel it off, and when you do, it doesn't stick to anything. So that's one of the reasons I like the T-Rex also. But now you guys are getting all kinds of fancy on us. They are, Rich. I mean, I was in the store the other a couple weeks ago, and I ran into the stuff, and it's not just the duct tape anymore. You guys are getting fancy. You got this, like, clear tape now. Explain what this stuff is.
Yeah, I'll walk you through it. Basically, T-Rex tape comes in a few different colors, gunmetal gray, black, and white. But we know there's some fixes where you don't want to see the tape. And maybe you need that tape to last for a while again, but you want it to be a discrete repair. So we took the same high aggressive adhesion as our regular T-Rex tape adhesive. We made it crystal clear. We put it on a special ionomer backing, which is a high grade, high tensile, high puncture resistant, but it's also UV resistant and crystal clear. We married those two, the adhesive and that backing, together, and we made it so it's very easy to tear by hand by actually serrating the edge of the tape. And that's really, it's T-Rex tape, but it's crystal clear. And this tape is so great, it actually sticks to some wet surfaces. And it also, you can put it on, say, a cracked cell phone or a tablet screen. You can put this tape on that, and it'll actually seal that crack, protect the device until you can get it repaired, and you can still use it. And it's crystal clear, so you barely need to notice it's there. So that's just another great addition to the T-Rex line. It really shows that we're thinking about end users' needs and creating high quality, high performance products.
So, but this almost looks like that packing tape stuff, but it's not, is it? It's not
cellophane tape.
No,
it's
a whole different beast. It's an animal of a different quality, and that backing is so high puncture resistant. It'll feel different, and it'll actually, you can tear it by hand, which you can't do with a lot of packaging tape. But also, it'll stretch and wrap really dynamically around a bunch of different surfaces, which really makes it a whole different type of tape than
I want to see the tear it by hand. It's funny because during the break, I was thinking about the tear it by hand thing because I was thinking about, like, duct tape, and you have to use your teeth. So I'm excited for the
like a dinosaur.
But see, now this is not packing tape. This stuff is way thicker, but it. Usually you have to get a knife or something to cut that. This, I just tore it. I just did it on Facebook Live. So, and I'm showing, as we're talking, I'm putting all this stuff, I'm showing it on Facebook Live as we're going. So,
great.
It's pretty cool. So,
yeah.
And again, we're talking to Steve Wagner. He's the T-Rex product manager for T-Rex Tape. Robbie's just sitting here just ripping it.
Well, I'll be honest. The first one, yeah. I don't know what I did wrong. I was more stretching it than tearing it, but now I'm tearing it. First one, why did it stretch?
What, are you going to leave any on the roll?
No.
Because we're supposed to give this stuff away.
This one?
That's what they said.
See, sometimes it's not tearing, it's stretching.
All right. Hey, Steve, can you hang on a second? Because Robbie's wasting all the tape here, so she just keeps ripping it. So we'll get back to this right after the break.
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
You see this hammer in my hand?
Yeah, I want to find that sad finder. What does it look like?
And a level.
What is a level?
Don't you know what a level is?
Yeah, it's something you advance to in a video game.
It's Mighty House. Call Mighty House now at 847-475-1590. And get all your answers from the experts.
This is Mighty House.
All right, we're back. And if you're watching us on Facebook Live, you can do that. And it's also brought to you in part by First Northern Credit Union. First Northern Credit Union is the only community credit union in Evanston. Visit them at fncu.org to learn more about the benefits of a credit union membership in your community. And it's also brought to you in part by AWM Construction, AWM Roofing. All your roofing and gutter needs, just go to AWM Construction, AWMRoofing.com. And then also Fast Signs is the last sponsor we have for Facebook Live, and that is 80 at FastSigns.com. Is that correct?
Got it already.
See, look at that. I just remembered it.
And you're a
pro. Not quite. Not quite. All right, let's get back to Steve.
Yes, because I have questions.
Okay, Steve Wagner from T-Rex Product Manager. Sorry, buddy, we just kind of ran. We're running long here. I handed her, you sent us this care package that we're supposed to give away. And Robbie has peeled about half that roll off and been ripping it and tearing it. And it's just, it's a clear tape, but it's also waterproof, all weather, and you've got boats and stuff on here on the package, so I'm going to guess it's waterproof or water resistant.
Yeah, the backing is waterproof, and that adhesive will stick to some surfaces even when they're wet. As long as you push that, the water, you can actually push it out from underneath the tape after you've applied it. So it's really a dynamic product. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm a home organizer, and I pack up a lot of people to move. And how does the price compare to regular, you know, clear packing tape?
But I don't think you'd want to use this for packing tape, would you?
I would. Do you know why?
Why?
Because I can't tell you how many times I'll pack a box up and then the tape won't stick. And people look at me like,
you're a bonehead. You don't know how to use tape?
Exactly. They look at me like I'm a bonehead. And so I'm going around like re-sticking the tape. But there are so many times that the regular, you know, brand of the clear packing tape on the things doesn't stick to a box. I don't know why that is.
So how's this going to stick to cardboard,
well, Robbie,
Steve?
Well, this tape will stick very well to cardboard, but it is at a premium to what a regular packaging tape would be. But I have great news for you, Robbie. T-Rex does make a packaging tape, and it's the thickest grade of packaging tape on the market, and it has a very, very aggressive hot melt. It's a clear-to-the-core hot melt adhesive, which is 100 times stronger than a regular packaging tape. So I think the tapes that you're talking about are probably using that acrylic packaging tape adhesive.
Mm-hmm.
T-Rex brand packaging tapes use a hot melt adhesive. So it'll bite to all sorts of corrugate, even if it's like highly recycled corrugate, which is usually the problem that you're encountering. Our T-Rex brand packaging tape will actually stick very well to that.
So
you can see that in stores all across the country.
How do I know? Because this just says T-Rex ferociously strong tape, and this one says clear repair tape. What am I looking for on the name of the tape that I want? What's the name of?
You'll specifically see it. It'll say T-Rex ferociously strong tape, and it'll underneath it'll say packaging tape.
That's
what I need.
You can
find it on our website at T-RexTape.com or any search, and it is at retailers across the country.
So it's at like the big box stores.
And it'll usually come with a little cutter, a dispenser, so you can easily cut that tape and use it when you're... You can just buy it and start using it right away.
Does it also have the serrated edges?
Doesn't sound like it
because
you. It's
no, because
with
it comes with that cutter, okay. And because of the way that so packaging tapes, you don't want them to tear very easily because they're part of the reason that they exist is they're supposed to hold the tension of the box mm-hmm. and all the contents. So
oh,
we don't
true.
Do that to the sides of our packaging tape, but we do provide that little cutter that comes on the tape, ready preset and ready to use. And that makes it so you, even with one hand, you can usually pack a box with our T-Rex packaging tape.
And how does the cost compare then of the T-Rex packaging tape with other packaging tape?
It's a little bit more, but again, you're not going to need as much tape. So where you one of the packaging tapes that you talked about earlier, you probably need two rolls for a big project. You can probably get that all done with one roll.
Cool.
Because
I'm just tired of it not sticking, and I look like what Ron said, a bonehead.
Well,
you know, it's ridiculous.
Exactly. That's why we wanted to make better products so people don't look like boneheads.
See, there you go.
This clear stuff looks like.
And that'll be on a billboard near the road somewhere.
Yeah, billboard near you.
This clear stuff looks like it would be really good for tubs. Like you put everything in a plastic tub, the clear stuff looks like it would. It would hold a little bit better than the packaging tape that somebody
right.
would use.
Yeah. Okay, so Steve.
You can use it for labeling, too, yeah.
Oh, cool.
With my Sharpie.
Looks like you can use it for laminate.
So the last.
Yeah.
Oh. now you got her going there, Sonar. All right, Steve from T-Rex. There's a last thing that came in your care package, and this is mountain tape. I'm sorry, no, mounting tape. What
yep.
is this? Is this
so
like? That, go ahead, explain what this is, and I'll hold it up for Facebook. Excuse me, Michael.
Yep.
So this is a new product from us this year, and we've got two mounting products, which are high-tack, high-aggressive VHB tapes. One of them is in extreme weather, so it's great for mounting to brick and stone outdoors.
No.
Some of the examples that we show.
That's what this is.
Up,
that's what you said.
The house numbers and thermometers and even security cameras with this tape. And the other one is a clear version, which you could use for mounting things to windows or plastic, where you don't want to see that tape shining through if you're putting up like a decoration or something temporarily. And both of these tapes have very high weight holding claims. You can hold up to 50 pounds per roll for that extreme weather and up to 30 pounds per roll for that clear mounting tape.
No,
cool
it's
product.
Not going to hold to brick. Nothing holds to brick in Chicago. No, tape holds to
this
brick.
This extreme weather. Give it a test. Give it a test.
All right.
Okay.
Well, we'll have to go get some because this care package, this care package we're giving away. So pick a number there, Robbie.
76.
No. Why don't we just go with 7?
Okay.
Because Trixie will yell at you if you do 76. Let's do the 7th caller.
The phones are ringing already.
Yep. Yeah. So we've got 3 rolls here. We've got the T-Rex Extreme Hold All Weather Tape. That's the mounting tape that you can stick on brick, and you'll have to call and tell us if it works
Please.
Or not. Then we have half of a roll of the clear repair tape because Michael and Michael Reeb from the Restore's here. He just walked in. And then Robbie, they've been playing with it, tearing it up, seeing how they can tear it. So, and then we've got the old conventional T-Rex tape, the duct tape, the stuff that you better, when you put it, you make sure it's going where you want it because you can't get it back off again.
Wow. And what's the number?
So it is 877-711-5611. Be the 7th caller, and we'll send out this care package, this tape care package to you.
This is really nice, people.
Yes.
It's really nice.
Very cool. So, Steve, I appreciate your time, buddy.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you again whenever you get some newer stuff coming out. I appreciate it.
All right. We always have new stuff coming. So
then call us. Then
yeah,
call us.
Call us. Let us know what you got, and we'll definitely give it a run for its money.
Great.
All right, good.
Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. All right, and with that, the phones are going crazy. And, Michael, what are you doing, buddy?
I don't know.
Hey, good morning. How's it going?
Good morning. You just happened to come on the day that...
Brian was here
from Chicagoland. Yeah, yeah. No, I'm just dropping off. You guys are a big supporter of the Habitat Restore, and we're doing some deliveries of little care packages ourselves to people that support us. So I just wanted to stop by and say thank you.
And who are you?
My name is Michael. I work with the Habitat for Humanity Restore in Elgin and the Habitat for Humanity Restore in Chicago.
Okay, because I see you in Chicago. If you were going to say you don't work in Chicago anymore, I was going to be really mad.
No, I'm not here to announce my moving away. No, I'm just here saying hello and thank you.
He's picked up both stores because originally you were just the Chicago store, right?
No, I've always been with Habitat of Northern Fox Valley out in Elgin.
Okay.
Yeah, but we work together in conjunction with the Chicago Restore.
Got it.
It's crazy. We spent a lot of time talking because Brian was here. And then people were asking how they donate. And then I had somebody on Facebook say they're remodeling their kitchen, but they live in Indianapolis. You know, what can they do? So we spent a lot of time talking about Habitat. And then all of a sudden you walk in with candy.
Candy and pens
candy.
And pint cans and, yeah, all of the all fun things. Well, yeah, if, in regard to donation, no matter where you're at, be it Indianapolis or Chicago, if you search Habitat Restore plus your city, you should probably be able to find a donation method or channel or stream by which you can donate product to the Restore, which is, you know, our inventory is 100% donation based from individuals and businesses. So let us know. We're happy to pick up, receive.
I hate to bring up a negative that you can't take, but people ask me all the time, electronics.
Yeah, unfortunately, we just recycle electronics that come our way, but we can't take them anymore. So,
right.
Yeah.
Oh, well, so we can just accidentally drop one off.
Yeah,
and you'll take care
of it at the back door when nobody's there.
Hey, if you're donating a couch and a love seat in good condition and you happen to have an old FM receiver, we'll take that and we will recycle that for you.
Thank you.
But that's not something we want to promote. That's right. Just.
So you would never say that on the radio?
Never on the radio.
Or on Facebook Live.
This is not live, right?
No. We'll cut this part out.
Yeah, you guys have other things to talk about, though. You've been talking about Habitat all morning.
Piano.
Pianos. Pianos are big and bulky and weird to move, so if you have a piano mover, take your piano and bring it to the Restore. We might be able to receive it, but in that case, because it's such a large item, just give us a call ahead of time and we'll figure out if we have space for it.
Okay, because I have had that too. Like, piano, what do I do with my piano?
Yeah, and it's not that we wouldn't want to take nice product, but it's such a big, bulky, hard item to move. If we were moving pianos, which there's a very little demand for pianos these days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's an issue too. It's supply and demand. So,
right.
Yeah.
So how are you guys with office furniture now?
We will receive office furniture sometimes if it's dropped off, but same thing. It's just not a big demand for, big, bulky wooden metal desks. But we do take a lot of other things.
Yeah, and we're
and I didn't mean to, but these are the questions people are like, what can you, Ron, I'm sorry.
Well, no, Rich was talking about earlier too is, he had a question, the faucets, you guys don't take old faucets because of lead, right?
Yeah, there's a low lead act that was put in place in 2012 with Habitat International. So when it comes to certain things, it is probably good to call the Restore to find out if you can drop it off, if it can be received. Worst case scenario, if we get an older, faucet, we can recycle it or, scrap it. So
you have 60 seconds. What can you take?
We take everything from furniture to hardware.
Phone calls.
Bicycles. We take phone calls. apparently so. Essentially
dishes.
That would be more for Salvation Army or Goodwill. Essentially anything you'd find in an Ace Hardware, True Value, those are the type of items we take in addition to furniture, dressers, end tables.
Garden tools.
Absolutely, 100%.
Old lawnmowers.
As long as they work. Yeah, we don't have a staff that can fix things.
Oh, no, he's not in there anymore?
Well, little things, yes, but don't drop off your old lawnmowers from 25 years ago expecting us to make it work. Yeah.
And then buy it.
And then come back and buy it.
Exactly.
What a great idea.
New marketing there for you. We'll be back right after this.
Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
I'm a proud owner of a cat dozer.
Yeah, boy.
I for real doze in my steel toes.
Slope assist.
Guide the blades so they stay on grade.
Slope indicator.
Right here in the dashboard like I asked for.
Enhance auto.
Shift automatically shifting, more fuel efficient.
What?
Listen.
Let's go.
Yeah. It's 6 o'clock and the job is done, but I'm not going anywhere because this is too much fun.
Okay.
I'm reminded every time I see a precision grade that this is probably the best decision I've ever made.
Yeah.
When I first laid eyes on it, I knew I found the one for me. I climbed inside and sat down in the lap of luxury. And it's been great in the week since then. Honk when you see me operating in my D6N. Look at me in my dozer. Wanna be in my dozer. Carefree in my dozer. Yeah, my day is over, but I stay in my dozer. Lay in my dozer.
Yeah,
I love my job because work to me's like play in my dozer.
Slope assist help tie the fat.
All right, we're back. Talking about our dozers. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net, TuneIn.com. We're also on the Gab Radio Network. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. And if somebody wanted to sign up for the newsletter, Rich, how can they do that?
MightyHouse.net, contact page, first, last name, email address, click on submit. You'll know each week what's coming up on the show.
That's right. And well, maybe we can include this dozer video then next week, too, so people could listen to exactly. There you go.
But a Cat D6N is a nice machine, you know.
Yeah, it is. It is.
So, a long way from the 953s I used to drive.
Yeah. Little, it's got slope assist, man. Come on.
You
didn't have that before.
No.
All right. So who do we have
on their blades?
Yeah. Who do we have on the phone there, Sonar? Where do you want to go first? Testing. 1, 2, test.
Catherine on one.
Catherine on one. Hey, Catherine, you're on Mighty House. Thanks for hanging on.
Good morning. I was really happy to learn about the PVC pipes. I live in a condo, and the person downstairs was complaining, and I knew it was the pipe, but I had no idea what the solution is, which, of course, I'm not going to do because I want to sell my condo.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, that was really good information.
Yeah,
now,
excellent.
Thank you.
My question is, we talked about open cell, closed cell transmission of sound. How does that translate into bedroom doors, hollow core doors, solid doors?
Well, so here's the deal with the hollow core door. It's two thin quarter inch pieces of plywood, and now that's like a drum, and that just those vibrate, and the sound actually transmits through a little bit easier. I think the denser door is going to be a better sound barrier to be able to block that, and we've got some sound guys here that may dispute that with me, but I believe that's, you know. Because of the density of the door is also going to stop that sound. Rich?
It's also the center of the door is solid, but it's not high density. I mean, I've got them where they're filled with straw.
Okay,
you know, some of the new doors. So there are more sound-absorbing qualities in the innards of a solid core door. It's not like solid wood all the way through.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
It's the same concept as the rock wool. Rock wool has more bubbles in it and more supportive, more traps, essentially, sound traps. If you're looking at a solid door, sometimes those actually amplify sounds based off of how you have it mounted, how big it is, what sounds are actually coming out of it. So what you can do is just kind of listen in the room and see where the sound is coming from. Is it coming from the original thing that's vibrating it, or does it sound like the door may be also lighting up as well?
Well, and that's with a hollow core door, which I was saying. I don't know if you heard that part, because it's two thin pieces of plywood, and each one's vibrating.
Exactly.
And that just, it transmits right through. It does. There's nothing to stop it, where the solid doors seem to be a little bit better at stopping that
Well,
sound.
Absolutely. It's just like in our studio here, where we have the granite.
Mm-hmm.
The granite is a nice, real rigid piece of rock.
Right.
And what it does is it just bounces everything off.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes you'll hear noises in your windows. Your windows, because they can vibrate and everything has its own natural resonance.
Mm-hmm.
And when you hit that with sound, it actually amplifies that sound. So it's really just listening of what the actual room is doing itself.
All right. Did we confuse you even more, Catherine?
Yes and no. So is there a mid-range? Like I think it was Rich was saying, there was something that does have some filling if it's not a solid core wood door.
Well, the door is always marketed as a
sound like talking and, you know.
Right.
And home that, or apartment.
No, the only place on a door that you'd have areas where the sound would freely go under is through the door, through that cut. But other than that, like like Sonar is saying, you're talking about the resonance, so you need something that's absorbing. So you can go look anywhere and ask what, it's a solid core door, but then ask what is the fill of the door.
Okay. Yeah, you
know,
there you
like
go.
Like I said, the first time I ran into one that had straw in it, trust me, I didn't know it had straw in it. It was when I was drilling a hole for the doorknobs that I got the smell.
Right.
And I'm like, this smells like grass burning. Uh-huh. And when I got the plug out, I was like, crap, it's full of straw.
Yeah. Yeah, but that would
that
be a good one.
Good or bad?
That would be a good one, actually. Yes. For straw sound. Will have a lot of pockets and grab that sound and won't allow it to transmit through to the other side of the door.
Right.
Especially if it's wood. If it's wood and then has straw fill, the wood isn't going to be as rigid as metal. Metal will actually start to bend and weave and actually turn into a speaker, essentially.
Right. Exactly.
So you don't want a metal in a fill door.
No.
You want
either
solid wood or a hollow core door that has some insulation like the straw.
Right. Or it could have, maybe it has foam in it. It might be a foam-filled door. I've run into the foam-filled ones, too. So
Check your thresholds. Okay. Make sure it's nice and tight. It's a good solid seal, because what will end up happening is the sound will actually creep under the door, and then it acts like you didn't even put a door there to begin with.
Right.
Okay, and is that the reason that you have those door sills on doorways if you don't have carpet?
Right, yeah, you still have a door threshold. That's one reason, but that's also so that you can cut the door down and it'll clear an area rug or something like that. So, you know, that's why you would want to raise that door up a little bit and still put the threshold there to be able to stop that noise.
Oh, okay, because the threshold is at an angle.
Correct. And it's raised up off the regular floor. So then it gives you room for an area rug or something like that under the door as you open the door.
Okay. I hate carpeting. Sometimes you even have thick flooring.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, cool.
Oh, and I want to give a shout out to Habitat Restore. My plans fell through one day and I decided to go over there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in Madison, Wisconsin. And I found 11 boxes of porcelain tile for the kitchen.
Nice.
Yeah, it's cool.
Plus 11 pieces. So stoked. I mean, like, that was just, you know, almost exactly what I would have gone and bought anyway.
Right, and you got it for half the price.
$154, not even half price.
Yeah, see, and then you had that $154 went to help somebody build a home. So it was a win-win for everybody all around. So.
Yeah, it was a 1,000% win.
Excellent. All right, well, cool. I appreciate the phone call.
Thanks, Catherine.
All right, bye. And let's go to Al on 2. Hey, Al, you're on Mighty House. Thanks for hanging on.
Yeah, I've got a 2-story frame house, aluminum-sided with the crawl space and the 2 concrete piers holding up the beams, the wood beams in the crawl.
Mm-hmm.
And around the rim joists, some of the floor joists are starting to take on water.
Mm-hmm.
So will 2 12-ton jacks lift it up about an inch or so, and then what do I do from there? Cisteron or shim it?
Why are you lifting? Is it sagging?
It's a little bit, yeah.
It's starting to sag.
A little bit, not too bad.
The rim joist, is your rim joist and sill plate rotting away? Are you talking about, okay.
It's just where the water is going over the foundation, right there at the boards go over the concrete.
So have you done anything to stop the water? Like dig up the side of the house to get the...
That's okay if it's 1950s, you know.
You still can lower the grade. I mean, it's got to be back pitched or something in that area. You got to work on keeping that water out too.
Right.
But that said, you could actually use like a bottle jack, get under there and lift the floor joist and then try to change that out. But and you would definitely sister them. You don't want to put... The sill plate you'd want to try and cut out.
And peel it all out.
The floor joists, you definitely want to sister those.
Okay, so if it's a 12-foot span, how far in do you have to sister?
Technically?
The whole thing.
Technically the whole thing.
Because otherwise you're just putting new blocks. Otherwise you're just putting squash blocks on there.
So technically...
I guess he could just put pieces in the ends if they're not sagging too much, but I wouldn't trust it. I would still rather sister the whole length.
Right.
And I would actually start at your beams because the beams are probably sagging worse than the floor joists.
Yeah. So an engineer would flip out if you just put a block at the end because it doesn't do anything. All it does is gives you a hinge point. So they want that to be sistered from bearing point to bearing point. So you may not need to do the whole thing. If you've got a beam halfway, you could go from the beam to the outside wall too and secure it that way. So as long as it's carrying that load. But
it's not that so much that the floor joists are sagging. It's only where the water, like 2 inches, where they're kind of like being pushed down. You know where the water is. They're like acting as a sponge. The joists,
and they're crushed on the ends. So the other thing is to dig out all the way around the perimeter of your house. You should have 8 inches of your foundation showing. If you don't, then you come out 2 feet, dig down. Put in drain tile, put gravel over it, and then fill that gravel up until you hit that 8 inches below grade or below the top of your foundation. And then that way, any water that gets in there would go in there, hit that drain tile, and gets carried away. It never makes it into the house, and you don't have that problem. So that's the ideal way to deal with the issue.
Right. Now, does your company do that?
We have landscapers that we can refer you to. That's more of a landscaper's deal. Huh?
Can I get some numbers?
Sure. Yeah. If you want, drop me an email and I'll email it to you. I don't have it handy with me right now, so.
Okay. What's that email?
Ron@mightyhouse.net.
Great. Thanks so much.
And I'll hook you up with some guys that can take care of that for you.
Perfect.
All right, great. Thanks, Al.
Thanks again.
All right, bye. All right.
Bye now.
We got one quick break to go and a couple more phone calls to get to, so. We'll be back right after this. You are listening to
Mighty House.
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
See, I work construction. I build things. I don't know if y'all realize the pressure a man like me's got on him.
This is Mighty House.
All right, we're back. We've got a couple minutes left here, so we're going to jump right to the phones. Let's go to Jeff on line 3. Hey, Jeff, you're on Mighty House.
Hi, good morning again.
Hey.
So the lady with the soundproofing of the doors and all that, if she's just because somebody said seal up the threshold, if they're talking about bedroom doors, a lot of those newer houses don't have return airs for heating and air conditioning, so be careful sealing up thresholds.
Yep,
and
that's true.
Number two, if a home inspector sees a halfway spliced beam in a crawl space, it'll be written up on a report. So that guy should do
the whole
thing
all
the way across.
Yep, from bearing point to bearing point, right?
Right.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yep, so cool.
All right.
Thanks, Jeff.
My 2 cents. Bye.
Thank you.
Always love your 2 cents, brother. Let's see. Let's go to Nick. Hey, Nick, you're on Mighty House. Thanks for hanging on.
Hey, thanks. Thanks, guys. I've got a question for you regarding hanging doors. I hear that it's tricky, and are there any special tips you could advise to hanging doors properly?
Rich?
Really? Two people?
It depends. I mean, if you're doing pre-hung interior doors, especially hollow core, I mean, we always put the casing on the hinge side first. You take and you slap it up in the opening, and you can shim the bottom of the jams to get the door margins correct, and then you shoot the casing.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go on the other side, you shim behind the hinges and strike plate, and you screw all the way through with long screws. I mean, I don't consider it hard, but I don't think it's something that somebody should just go decide they're going to go hang 10 doors unless you've
It's not a one-on-one class.
But it's not, yeah, exactly.
You need some basic carpentry skills to understand what's going on. Are you hanging all new doors and jams, or are you trying to put a new door into the existing opening?
Yeah, I just want to replace some doors, swap them out.
Oh, so you're just taking the door off. Okay, so it might be a little...
Well, that's only a little bit easier.
Yeah.
You can buy... Go into almost any hardware store, and you can buy a hinge guide, which is basically, it's like a three-sided chisel. You just pull your measurements from your old door to the hinge locations of the new slab, and you just give it a whack, and that'll give you the outline of the hinge and where it should be. and you just chisel that out, because most guys going to hang a few doors isn't going to go get a router.
Right.
The only other thing, too, is to realize that every door has a bevel, and that bevel would be towards your strike side, you know, so that when it swings, it clears. They're not square on all four sides. And if you got any sagging in any of your doors, I mean, you can shave the sides, whatever. So
yeah, usually
it's, like I said, it's not the hardest thing in the world, but it's definitely something that you'd kind of want to get shown or something.
Yeah, have somebody do it for you. So when you close the door, if all your reveals and all your everything is nice and even, then you can take that door off. Even if it's all cattywampus, you take that door off, use that as a template, lay it on your new door, mark it out, and then that way you've got the same angles all cut on it if that existing door fits okay. If you're starting from scratch and the door's all screwed up, then, you know, if the header's dropped or raised a little bit, you've got to make sure you check, you're starting with a square opening. And if you're not, then you have to give yourself enough room to be able to do that. So if the headers are
sagging, I've had to cut doors out of square just to get them to swing in the opening. So
or if the header's too high on the strike side, and then so then you actually have to lower your hinges so that way it raises it up, and then cut the angles off. So it can get really complicated. How old's your house?
Close to 100 years.
Oh, you're going to have fun. So, yeah.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. So,
I would definitely, realistically, I would hire a good carpenter to come out and swing those doors and put in your lock sets, because I don't know if you're changing them. If you're at 100 years, you're all mortise lock sets too, so I don't know if your jams on your doors are going to have to be filled and recut, or if you're going to use the same mortise lock sets, but that's a whole nother world.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of, you know, it seems like it's an easy thing. It's just a door, but there's you can always try one. You're not going to make it any worse. You know, and if you screw it up, it's not like you're making more work for somebody. So,
well, probably try an interior door before the exterior one.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. Yeah, because if you screw up the exterior door, you can't close it, and then the next guy can't come for 2 weeks. You know, the boss is really going to be mad at you.
Yeah. Yeah, but can't exactly. I use the same hardware and just replace the door, leave the hinges in and just replace the door?
Well, you can, but that's the whole point. Even to cut the door exactly the same, the hinges locations, cutting that in is not a big deal. Cutting in the doorknob is not necessarily a big deal. It's the fact that I guarantee you his frames are not rectangular anymore. They're trapezoids.
Right.
So you actually have to cut the door up to meet the opening before you can start laying out your hinges.
Right. It's a square peg in a round hole is what you're doing.
Yeah, so, because of the way, I guess, the it would sag settle and everything. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's why I say it gets a little hard to explain, because if the door is not, like when you close the door, if the bottom of the door is sticking out, it's not all the way up against the stop. Well, you can fix that by pulling the right hinge, the top hinge, out.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll push that bottom corner in. And if your door is sagging too far to the left, I can tip that hinge, you know, out back of the jam, and that will pull that door up without affecting anything. And it's those stupid little tricks is where I'm more saying it's not as easy to do as you just think. There's too many other little things that you learn from doing it for years.
Right.
That it's hard to explain in 5 minutes.
Is it better to just do the door and frame at the same time and then done with it, as opposed to just replacing the actual door?
I think so, especially in a 100-year-old
house. I'd say yes in a heartbeat if your house is 50 years old and it's drywall. But if yours is nearly 100 years old with probably it's got plaster, I would not want to touch the jams because they're not standard sizes anymore. The casing has probably got 800 coats of paint on it. So it's going to be stuck to the, you know, you're going to end up with a bigger repair trying to do that than just swapping out slabs.
Well, even here at the studio, I don't have the same two doors here.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know who decided that.
Right. Yeah. No, that's just the way, you know.
Habitat Restore.
Yeah. Well, that was the door they had. So I don't know, Nick. I'd say try an interior door. Take a framing square. And go check the door before you start. Check the opening before you start, and pick an easy one first. You know, pick one that's already square and pretty straight, and then start working on the ones that have the weird angles. Because doing that one, even that's straight, that'll give you the kind of skills and start training you as to what you got to start to look for when it gets into some other stuff.
Yeah,
so, appreciate the phone call there, Nick. We got to roll.
Thanks, guys.
All right, good luck.
Thanks.
All right. With that, we're out of here, man. It's
that
done.
That was fast. That was really fast.
That was a rocking show. Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Video clips of the show are available at MightyHouse.net and in our Mighty House YouTube channel. Conversation continues all week long on Facebook and Twitter. You can follow us there. If somebody wanted a newsletter, Rich, how can they do that?
MightyHouse.net, contact page, first, last name, email address. Just click submit. You'll know what's going on every week.
All right. We'll be talking to Tap Hanger creator Tony Learman next week. And we'll have another tip of the week, Clutter Clarity. And in between that, we'll be taking your phone calls. Thanks to Brian from Habitat for Humanity, Women's Build Week, and also Steve Wagner from T-Rex Tape. I appreciate that. And for Rich Cowgill and Robbie Earhart, I'm Ron Cowgill. Keep it square and level.
Until next Saturday.
All right, there we go. We're out of here.
If you have any questions during the week, you can always post them on Facebook and Twitter. Join us next Saturday for more home infotainment. Mighty House is a Square and Level Media production.
Mighty House.